Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight we have several horrifying deep woods stories I'm going to be sharing with you tonight, starting off with a park ranger's personal encounter of this dog-like beast. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Zach, I've been listening to you for a couple of years now, and I have to say, I really enjoy the forest stories that you tell. Don't get me wrong, I also like your paranormal and zombie stories too. But being a prior park ranger myself, I tend to lean towards the woods direction. There was a story that you told on here about a month ago that really piqued my interest, which ended up motivating me to email this story to you. Now, if you don't choose to narrate this, that's perfectly fine. But if you do, I'll keep it short and sweet. For privacy reasons, I'm not going to tell you which park I used to work at, but just know it was somewhere in the Northwest. This was back in the late 1990s, and I was on my evening patrol, about 30 minutes until I was about to clock out for the night. When all of a sudden, when I was in my Jeep and I was just driving along the dirt road, I had caught wind of this wolf-like creature that ran in front of my vehicle, disappearing into the brush on my right. Now, it was already dusk, and the sun was just about at the peak of the horizon, but there was still plenty of daylight outside for me to see this thing run across in front of me. I know most people would think it was just a coyote, as they are frequent in this neck of the woods. But wolves are also known for this neck of the woods as well, and big ones. So there was no way it was a coyote. It was definitely a wolf, I thought to myself. And at first, a wolf would be the logical explanation for this story. But unfortunately, this wolf-like creature was running on its back hind legs, bipedal, like a human being. And outside of a human, that is something that most animals do not do. But it did look like a wolf. It was definitely in the animal kingdom of a canine. To be completely honest with you, Zach, it happened mere seconds, and I didn't get the best look at it, but I did notice it was some type of dog. I'm going to be 100% honest with you and tell you that I only saw this creature maybe 1 to 2 seconds max as it ran across the road and disappeared. But what I did see for that mere couple of seconds was some furry, dog-like man running on its back hind legs like a human with its back kind of hunched over forwards. It didn't even look at me as it ran across. I would have known. But its snout was long and its ears were pointy, and its body was completely full of fur, but it did not have a tail. And that is really honestly all I could really tell you. It disappeared and I slammed on my brakes, lights on, heart racing, and I just sat there in the middle of the road with my foot on the brakes, just dumbfounded as what I had just witnessed. Now, being a park ranger, you hear and see a lot of different things, and there's all kinds of myths and legends and all kinds of rumors that always get spread around the park, and I'm sure it's not just the one I worked at. I've heard about the Dog Man, I've heard about skinwalkers. To be honest with you, judging off what I witnessed, it could have been either one. I am not terribly sure, but again, I am in the Pacific Northwest, so you can be the judge.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
My scariest encounter was on a hike in the Swiss Alps. This happened in 2019. I had always been an avid hiker, And when I heard about the beautiful trails in the Swiss Alps, I knew I had to go. So I packed my bags and set off for my adventure. The first few days were amazing. The views were breathtaking, and I felt like I was in a postcard. I had the trails all to myself, and I was loving every minute of it. But as I was hiking deeper into the mountains, I started to feel like I was being followed. The trail was deserted, and I had not seen any other hikers for hours. But I couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching me. I kept turning around to see if anyone was behind me, but there was never anyone there. I tried to tell myself that it was just my imagination playing tricks on me, but the feeling persisted. I started to feel paranoid and anxious, my heart racing with fear. I was so focused on the feeling of being followed that I didn't even notice the beauty of the mountains anymore. The feeling became even stronger as the day went on, and I started to hear strange noises behind me. At first, I thought it was just the wind, but as I turned around, I saw something that made my blood run cold. There, standing on the trail behind me, was three creatures. They were unlike anything I had ever seen before. They were tall and thin, with elongated limbs and head that seemed too large for their bodies. Their skin was a sickly gray color, and their eyes were black and soulless. I froze, unsure of what to do. The creatures just stood there, staring at me. I pulled my phone out to take a picture of them, but as soon as I did, they started running towards me and made me panic. I lost my balance, fell on the ground, losing my phone in the process. I knew I had to get away fast, so I got up and started running as fast as I could. I ran for what felt like hours, but I couldn't shake them. Every time I looked back over my shoulder, I saw the creatures were following me. They were always there, just behind me, their elongated limbs allowing them to keep pace with ease. I was terrified and I didn't know what to do. After a while, I stumbled upon what looked to be an abandoned bunker deep in the mountains. I had heard that there were many bunkers made in the Swiss Army in the Alps, but I never thought I would find one. I pushed open the rusty door, and as soon as I stepped inside, chills went down my spine. The walls were covered in carvings depicting the same creatures that were following me. I knew that I was not the first person to see these creatures. A tunnel went further into the mountain, but it was pitch black inside of it, and I decided to stay within the first room. Old planks and empty beer cans were scattered on the floor. I barricaded the door and huddled in a corner, trying to catch my breath. But I could still hear them outside, rustling in the bushes. I peeked out of the small opening in the wall and saw that they were hiding behind the trees, watching the bunker. They would occasionally poke their heads out, their black eyes staring at me. This went on the whole night, and I was too scared to sleep. In the morning, the creatures were still there, lurking outside the bunker. I knew that they wouldn't stay there forever, so I decided to explore deeper into the bunker. I walked down the dark and damp corridor, feeling my way with my hands, touching the walls, and using an old rotten broom as my guide. As I walked, I felt as if someone was watching me, but I knew it couldn't have been the creatures, as I would have probably heard them destroy the barricaded door of the bunker. I finally reached the end of the corridor and opened the door to a large room. Inside, there was something hanging on my right. I couldn't quite tell what it was. Could be clothing, maybe a uniform or some old rags. But I felt a metal helmet. It was clearly a helmet. And on my left, I felt a machine. I couldn't tell what it was for, but I heard a soft humming noise coming from it. I reached out blindly, trying to find the source of the noise, and my hand landed on a switch. I flipped it on, and the machine came to life. Suddenly, the room was flooded with light, and it blinded me for a second. I could see that this room had also carvings against the walls, just like the ones I had seen previously. Even though the room looked odd and creepy, the fact that it wasn't pitch black anymore was somewhat relieving. There was a greenish door leading further deep into the bunker, and I noticed that the machine also triggered lights in the corridor that led me to this room. I turned around and got scared for a second when I saw the old army uniform hanging on the wall. It looked damp and moldy, as if it had been here for decades. I was starting to feel lightheaded, which was probably normal. After all, I hadn't slept for over a day, and the only food that I had eaten was a local chocolate-coated wafer bar and a small sausage. I did not pack a lot of food, as there were small villages or rest stops everywhere in the Alps, and I had plans to sleep at a hotel the night prior. I was wondering if they tried to contact me or alerted the authorities. Maybe a search party was looking for me, but there was no way to find me in this bunker. I sat down on the ground and leaned against the wall, trying to gather my thoughts and come up with a plan. As I sat there, I noticed a shadow on the wall, coming from the entrance corridor. At first, I thought I was hallucinating, but no, I wasn't. It was moving. It was them. The creatures had been following me now inside the bunker. I quickly got up and slammed the door shut, which luckily could be closed from the inside. As soon as I did, I heard them rustling towards the door. I turned to the other door, but it was locked. I was trapped, with the creatures closing in on me. I could hear them scratching at the door, their elongated limbs reaching through the cracks. I remember thinking, "This is it. This is how I die." I knew that I was going to die there, alone in the bunker in a foreign country. But then I remembered the old Swiss Army uniform hanging on the mannequin. For some reason, my survival instincts kept making me look at that uniform. It was because uniforms had a sense of authority? Was it because of the rotten smell? Was I going crazy? I don't know. I quickly put it on and grabbed the helmet, hoping it would give me some protection if the creatures attacked me. The creatures broke through the door, and I braced myself for the worst. But as they approached me, they suddenly stopped. They stared at me for a moment, then turned and fled back into the wilderness as if they were scared. I never found out why they didn't attack me, but I was glad to be alive. I quickly made my way back to civilization, but until today I never spoke of the creatures I had encountered. I know no one would believe me anyways, and I didn't want to be known as that crazy hiker who claimed to have been followed by monsters in the mountains.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My confusing and terrifying experience at a secluded campground. Hello, everyone. I am posting here because I am in need of some advice. Recently, I went on a camping trip to a secluded campground in the middle of nowhere. I was excited for the adventure, but what I experienced there has left me feeling confused and unsure of what to do next. When I arrived at the campground, I was surprised to find that I was the only one there. I had expected to see other campers, but there was not a soul in sight. It was May and right in the middle of peak season for the park. However, I was thankful to have the privacy, and I shrugged it off and set up my tent, eager to start the exploring. As I hiked through the woods, I stumbled upon a strange box that was locked to a tree. It was made of old, weathered wood and had strange symbols etched into it. I tried to open it, but it was sealed tight. I couldn't shake off the feeling that there was something sinister about it. I felt something calling me to open it, something dark and dangerous. After returning to my camp and making some dinner, I decided to go check out the lake by my campground and watch the sunset. When I got there, I noticed that the water level had dropped significantly, and the shoreline was now much further out than before. The water was murky and the smell of rotting vegetation filled the air. As the sun began to set, I thought I caught a glimpse of something in the water. At first, I thought it was a piece of rotting wood that was exposed by the receding lake level. But the more I looked at it, I kept thinking it looked like some kind of deformed creature. It was far enough that I had to squint to see it. And when the wind blew, I swear I saw it reach out as if it was beckoning me. But without my glasses, I couldn't be sure. I felt a sense of confusion and uncertainty. The sun set and I returned to my campsite, but I couldn't shake off the feeling that I was being watched. At this point, I still hadn't seen a single person since I arrived earlier in the day. My campfire burned low, and I was too scared to go into the woods looking for more wood, so I crawled into the safety of my tent. I tried to sleep, but I kept tossing and turning, my mind racing with thoughts of the strange box and the possible creature in that lake. The darkness of the night seemed to be closing in on me, making me feel trapped and suffocated. The next morning, I quickly packed up my things and headed back home. I couldn't shake off the feeling that I had missed something important. About a half an hour into my drove, it hit me that in my haste to pack up, I had forgotten my favorite Zippo on the picnic table at the campsite. After a little debating, I decided to go back to the campground to quickly grab my lighter. When I arrived, I found that the campground was now bustling with activity. There were other campers, rangers, and even a small store I hadn't seen before. There was no way I was in the same place. The store was almost an eye shot of my campsite. There were tents pitched on either side of the site that I was at. I figured I must have came back a different way and ended up at a different end of the park. That would explain the store and all the people. But as I was turning away, the light glistened off something on the picnic table. My stomach knotted as I realized it was my lighter. There was no doubt that this was the exact spot I had been. I walked up to one of the rangers and asked if he knew anything about all the people and when they had arrived. The ranger looked at me with a confused expression and said, "What are you talking about? Most of these people have been here since yesterday." His eyes shifted and he walked away, got into his truck, and drove off. I really got the sense that he was lying to me. I grabbed my lighter and hopped back into my car and sped off to my house. I am now back home. But I can't shake the feeling that something is really wrong at that campsite. I don't know if I saw a creature or it was just my imagination. Why was that creepy box locked to the tree in the woods? And does it have anything to do with this? I feel like I'm losing my mind. I need some advice on how to cope with this and how to figure out what really happened.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
I will never go camping again. And I think I might even move as far away from this place as possible. I went on a camping trip with my mates a couple of weeks ago. And I will never step foot in that forest again. Me and my friends planned a camping trip, not a hunting trip or anything, but two of my friends brought their hunting rifles and planned to go hunting for a couple of hours if they got the chance. I had always wanted to hunt, but I had never had the time to do a decent length trip. When I told one of my hunting friends this, he told me he'd bring his crappy old hunting rifle for me. We didn't set up camp until about 6 p.m., Me and my three friends were ready to eat and go to bed. My two hunting friends said they would eat and go out hunting. We ate, and by 7 p.m., we were tidying up and setting up sleeping bags. We had a 7-man tent, and there were 5 of us, so there was lots of space. I decided to stay in and go hunting next time they went out. My two hunting friends went out. And me and my two other mates stayed in the tent and talked for about 2 hours before going to sleep. As we were falling asleep, we heard sprinting footsteps coming towards us. We all shot up and jumped out of our sleeping bags. "Guys!" It was one of our friends who had went out. "Open the tent!" I unzipped the tent, and they practically dove in. They gulped down some water and breathed hard before getting words out. "We finished shooting as soon as it got dark," started one of my friends. "John had just packed up his rifle, and I was having a last scout to see if I could see anything, and I saw a deer. It had red glowing eyes, staring right down my scope. I shot, and nothing happened, so it just ran at us, so legged it. described my friend in a panic. John, did you see it too? I asked John. I didn't see it until it started running at us. I didn't see a deer form, just the red eyes coming towards us, he replied. I left my rifle there. We'll have to go back for it tomorrow, said my other friend. We'll all go back tomorrow, said one of my friends who stayed in the tent. We managed to sleep in the end. And the next morning, we started walking to where they were hunting. We found my friend's rifle in one piece. He picked it up and unloaded it. Thank Christ, he said, putting the unused bullets into his pocket. What he didn't notice was the engraving in the butt. Look at the butt, I said. My friend held the rifle out and looked at the butt. It had a carving of two people, one standing up with a rifle bag on his back, and one lying down still looking down his rifle scope. That's us, said John. What? Replied my other hunting friend. I could only imagine that's what we would have looked like. At about 1 p.m., John suggested that we go hunting before sunset so we're a little less on edge. We did about an hour's hunting before coming back and spending the rest of the day and night with our friends. We had a fun night of drinking and talking before going to sleep. Our plans for the next day were to have breakfast, pack up our things in the tent, eat lunch in the forest, depending on the time we left. If we were ready too early, we'd stop somewhere on the way home. We had our tent packed up and ready to go. It was 11:30 a.m., and we were all ready. We decided to stop somewhere on the way home to get something to eat. We began our one-hour walk to the car. We were about halfway to the car when we heard a man screaming in the distance, no further than 100 meters into the brush. We all stopped dead. I said we needed to go check it out, and both my hunting friends agreed. I was given the crappy hunting rifle, and we ran forward towards the scream. We reached roughly where the scream had came from. There were bloody, torn clothing everywhere, but nothing else. I picked up the clothing and looked at them. They were completely spooked. I told my friends I couldn't see anything else, and neither could they. Suddenly, we heard the very recognizable sound of our two other friends screaming. We sprinted back, shouting and crying their names, doing our best not to trip up. We made it back to the path. Our bags were strewn about everywhere. Our friends were gone. We looked around and couldn't see anything. Nobody. We came back to the bags. We were all near tears. We sat down for about 5 minutes, trying to think about what to do. Again, I had heard one of my disappeared friends screaming towards where we had set up camp. My eyes shot towards it. The first thing I saw was a pair of red eyes bolting directly at us. It was only a second later I realized it was a deer with red eyes. Me and my two friends bolted to the car. After about 5 minutes, it seemed to have disappeared. We got to the car and got back to my house to stay there for the rest of the day and the night. We reported our friends missing and the bloody torn clothing to the police. They still haven't been found, and I'm beginning to think they won't be. We also told them about the deer with the red eyes. They had no idea what we were talking about and said that they had never had reports about it. But there was a rapidly rising number of missing reports in that forest.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.